98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It's part of the NFL. It's not easy. It's not easy to win in the NFL. Everybody want to win.
Who or what is the tipping point?
That's going to be key to our success.
This is
Fulcrum Football with Wolf and Luke.
All right, we don't really have a scoring system in place. We've only been doing this all season, but I feel pretty confident that I won last week. And I'll just say that. You look shocked.
I am shocked right now. Let me think about that. Doesn't really matter, Luke.
It only matters if I won.
Yeah. Champion your victories. Yes. Ignore your defeats.
What defeats?
Oh, you know what defeats.
No, that is, not if you're ignoring them properly.
Right. Exactly. Okay, where are we going here?
All right.
What is the Fulcrum Football tipping point for the NFC Championship games?
The most pivotal players, we'll do it just for the two games for this weekend. Not the best players, the most pivotal players. So players that either by playing well are going to win their team the game, or by playing poorly are going to lose their team the game. So the most pivotal players, we tend to frown on taking quarterbacks.
Correct.
But it is not outlawed. It's just shamed publicly.
Right.
Yes. I don't know if we have a coin here today. Oh, look at that. Where did that coin come from?
How about that?
Oh, and it looks like you won, so you get the first pick.
Oh, wow, okay. Let me think about this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I believe the line of scrimmage is going to be hotly contested in the NFC Championship game. It doesn't mean it won't be in the AFC Championship game either, but I think this is going to be a battle for the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And anytime you talk about the line of scrimmage in the NFC Championship game, I'll take Aaron Donald. Let's go! Oh, man, that felt good right there. Oh, face mask right into your jaw. Can you feel that, buddy?
Well, yeah, I can, because I just went to the dentist yesterday. We can get more into that later
on. You know
what,
honestly,
felt like a face mask to the jaw.
At some point in time, are you going to get over your trip to the dentist?
No.
And how painful
it was? Because it went worse than I anticipated.
Are you just going to suck it up at broadcast?
I'm trying. All right, so you took Aaron Donald. All right, let's see. I will, you know what? I'll stick with that game. There's only two games. I'll stick with that game, Wolf, and I will go with the only guy I trust to move the football on San Francisco, Deebo Samuel.
Oh.
Carry on.
Deebo Samuel. Okay, that was number three for me.
No, all okay. Right. Well, so you get your number two
pick. So when you say Deebo, though, do you mean Deebo as in running, or do you mean Deebo as in terms of receiving?
I don't have to split Deebo. I get all the Deebo.
He can also throw the ball.
That's true. He might be their best quarterback as well. I mean, this is who I mean, Wolf. I mean the Deebo that could barely walk off the field between plays in the snow at Lambeau last week, and then would still come in and get them 14 yards every time they needed
it. Yeah, that's good right there, Deebo Samuel. Okay, I'm going to go, let's go AFC, ladies and gentlemen, also talking about the line of scrimmage and how important that line of scrimmage is going to be when you talk about the AFC Championship game. Joe Burrow was sacked nine times. Think about that for a minute. Nine times last week, Joe Burrow was sacked, just destroyed. And because of that, you knew it was coming. Chris Jones, the wrecking ball that he is. Punch it! Let's go! That's right, Chris Jones destroying the ability of Joe Mixon to actually run the ball in between the tackles, creating all sorts of havoc, and then, of course, getting that interior push on Joe Burrow, who was sacked, again, nine times. Chris Jones, my Fulcrum football player, number two.
There's a lot of different ways to go with this, with these two games. A lot of big players in these two games. All right, I'll go over to the AFC as well, and I'll make this an easy one, Wolf. And oh, no. I will go with Tyreek Hill.
Yes!
We're on to Cincinnati.
I'll just keep it simple. Just a reminder at the end of that Bills game that the Bills, who had the best pass defense in the NFL, they couldn't slow down Tyreek Hill when he needed yards. And I there's part of me that wants to pick Cincinnati or find a way where Cincinnati can win that game. And they obviously did just beat him a couple weeks ago. But I don't see how they're going to have an answer for Tyreek Hill. And until somebody has that answer, I don't know that you can pick against the Chiefs in good conscience.
Man, can I just say this right now for the record? Aaron Donald was one, Chris Jones two, Deebo Samuel three, Tyreek Hill four.
Look at that.
Well done by you. Okay, gather on the transistor and press the ear. I'm going to go with Nick Bosa. Oh! Nick Bosa, what is the narrative surrounding Matthew Stafford? Well, he's never been a big quarterback before in the past, even though he's won two playoff games right now. He is a failed and flawed product from time to time. You can get to Matthew Stafford. That is the belief that is out there amongst defensive coordinators. And the best way to do that is to blindside him. And Nick Bosa has the capability of blindsiding Matthew Stafford. That is the key to actually beating the Los Angeles Rams, is to get to Matthew Stafford, impact their passing attack, because that is the strength of what they do. And Nick Bosa could do that very well.
I don't hate that pick. I'll stick in that game. I'm going to go defense for the first time in this draft. And I'm going to go with the guy that actually leads the Rams in sacks through these first two games of the playoffs, the guy they picked up mid-season, and the guy that's kind of overshadowed by Aaron Donald but has been a defensive MVP in this league before. I'll go with Von Miller.
Da-da-da-da-da! That was... Yes, indeed, Von Miller. No, that's a good one right there.
He seems
even
like...
though he was near the bottom of my...
Well, so you're reading the list upside down then. He's okay. He's definitely in the position to just wreak havoc on Jimmy Garoppolo in this game, whether that is via interception or strip sack or forced fumble or whatever. I have no problem pinning some hopes, if I were a Rams fan, on Von Miller.
Okay, one of the things the... Are you done? Are you done?
Hold on. I had a soliloquy.
I wrote some poetry about Von
Miller.
Yeah, okay, great. One of the things that the Bengals do that I really enjoy is they put Joe Burrow under center, and they run a lot of plays in between the tackles. Does that surprise anybody?
Does that appeal to you?
Does that surprise anybody that has listened to this broadcast at all? And because of that, Joe Mixon running in between the tackles, the one area the Kansas City Chiefs historically have had problems with is what? Stopping the run. And in particular, in between the tackles. Oh, by the way, it's a great way to go about playing the Kansas City Chiefs, especially if you can control the ball. And especially if your offensive line gave up 9 sacks the week before. Why not line up and pound the ball in between the tackles against the Kansas City Chiefs?
Makes sense.
Why not try to do that and possess the ball as well, so you don't have Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill out on the field wreaking havoc? Makes a lot of sense to me. And because of that, Joe Mixon.
Let's go!
Joe Mixon is my fulcrum football player pick for that game.
All right, I'm going to double up on the Chiefs. I'm going to go with the other guy who has almost identical numbers to Tyreek Hill through the first two games. 204 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns. He was the other half of moving them right down the field in 13 seconds. So if I can walk out of Fulcrum Football with Travis Kelce, who I'm taking.
Nice hands, Larry.
Tyreek Hill. Wolf, I feel like I have the two decisive players in that game.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good one right there. There's no doubt about it. Well done by you. Okay, I'm going to go Cooper Kupp. How about that? Man, Cooper Kupp, the best wide receiver in the National Football League. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Number 8, Cooper Kupp. Are you kidding me right now? Yeah, I'm going to go with Cooper Kupp because if, in fact, the 49ers have any chance of winning this game, they've got to control or mitigate the damage done by Cooper Kupp. This guy, he might have 100 yards receiving. They just can't let him have the 150 in 3 touchdowns and 13 targets. They can't have that. They got to mitigate or control the damage that Cooper Kupp can do.
All right, I got one more. Man, I've been on that Bengals bandwagon in the AFC for like the last 3 months.
I know.
And yet all I'm doing is picking Chiefs here in Fulcrum Football. But I'm going to go one more, Wolf, and I'm going to go back to the linebacker position. This time I'm going to go with Melvin Ingram III.
Wow.
We're better than you.
Wow.
And we know it.
And look, he's a guy that, I mean, if they're going to give up 9 sacks, if Cincinnati's just going to let guys run directly at Joe Burrow, he could certainly impact the game that way. He's somebody that could force a fumble or even intercept a pass. If the Chiefs get anything out of their defense, I don't know how the Bengals are going to be able to hang with them. But I'm not writing the Bengals off. But I'll go with Melvin Ingram just to sort of... I felt bad. I had all of the best offensive weapons. I needed to go a little defense there.
Okay, I'm going to go George Kittle right now. George Kittle, are you kidding me? George Kittle. Even the 49ers is going to be running the ball and throwing the ball. And George Kittle embodies both of those things. The best tight end, best stud tight end in the game, George Kittle.
I can't bring myself to take Odell Beckham. I refuse to. So here, just to make sure I have a Bengal, I'll go Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay. We're on to Cincinnati.
I think the only way Cincinnati has a chance is if Joe Burrow just has a monster game. And obviously that starts with Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay, let me end this Fulcrum Football on a high note, ladies and gentlemen, with a little bit of a wry smile. I'm going to take Brian Allen, the Los Angeles Rams center. Brian, please don't snap and pass Matthew Stafford at any point in this game.
Or do it.
Brian Allen.
That was it? You're right. So you, so how, you got seven picks and I got six? Is that how this works?
Yeah, I have no idea how many picks you had. I ignored them.
That's very clear. You don't start a draft and finish the draft making picks. All right. That does Fulcrum Football for the championship week. We'll do it again in a couple weeks, like 7 weeks or whenever the Super Bowl is. My team is, I'm not going to read the whole roster. I'll just say better than Wolves. That's what it says.
Yeah, right. Whatever.
All right. Coming up next, we'll get the latest news surrounding the NFL head coaching positions and how it could affect the Arizona Cardinals. A few different ways, actually. That's coming up. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke.
Alert, alert, alert!
Presented by 72 Soul. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
So I just assume I'm not going to get any sympathy from you that I have searing jaw pain right now.
Suck it off.
Let the record show, I got the last laugh. Came in here this morning, had a big chocolate muffin.
Yeah.
Take that, dentist. You're not going to tell me how to take care
right,
of my
exactly.
teeth.
If they're going to tell you you have a cavity, you're going to make sure you have one.
Especially, yeah, when I don't even have a cavity, and they're like, you have one. I went in there yesterday, I was thinking, it's going to be nice, you know, it's going to be fine. Oh, yeah, you have a cavity, and it's the it's drilled for like 7 hours.
It's in that place that you would never be able to see. Don't even try to look for yourself, Luke.
Do you have any tooth pain, Luke? No. Do you brush twice a day? Yeah. Do you floss? Yes, I actually do. Well, you have one anyway. So, yeah, well, if I'm going to eat the worst possible
honestly,
food I can.
Right now, I have to make that. That's got to be a resolution right there. I've got to improve flossing, basically.
It doesn't matter, apparently. Here to tell you it doesn't matter.
Because you got a cavity.
As a man who, I wouldn't say a flossing enthusiast, but one who flosses as much as they ask you to floss.
A flossing enthusiast.
If I can walk out of there with a cavity. Yeah, well, it's really hard to say when they put that Novocaine in your mouth. And all I could think, too, when they were doing the needle was you being like, no, this is what you want.
You've been lied to, Luke.
I have.
I sympathize with you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Even if Wolf won't.
He definitely won't. All right, the NFL coaching carousel. Nothing official today, but after we got off the air yesterday, I want to start here. Josh McDaniels to the Raiders picked up some steam.
Josh McDaniels to the Raiders. Have the Patriots, has their season ended yet?
Yeah.
Is it over?
Yes.
When did that actually end,
Luke? Halfway through the first quarter of their game against Buffalo.
Oh, my. Yes, indeed. It was over right now. Man, that was days, ladies and gentlemen. Dare I say weeks ago? And now you're going to tell me that suddenly the Rams want to talk to Josh McDaniels. What have they been waiting for? Why did they talk to Josh McDaniels sooner?
Hey, Josh, we meant to call you, but Sean Payton was online and you know how that guy talks.
Listen, we didn't call you because we got tipped off that Sean Payton was actually going to be available. And we just wanted to call Sean Payton and hear it from his lips. He was not interested in coaching Derek Carr, a playoff team, and the Las Vegas Raiders.
What if they would, if they were that just straightforward and honest. Josh, we're going down our lists, and you were our second choice, so we're calling you now because our first choice isn't coaching this year.
Oh, my goodness. Honestly, what were the Raiders waiting for? Josh McDaniels is a big name, a known commodity. What are they waiting for?
It was great with the Colts for that hour that he was their coach.
Did exactly what Bill did. Bill Belichick followed his career path. But to me, honestly, right now, that is very interesting about this story, that it's coming out now, reported by Adam Schefter yesterday, coming out now that, oh, yeah, it's going to be an all-Patriots affair. The Raiders are all over Josh McDaniels. Now, where was that a week ago? Where was that 2 weeks ago? Interesting.
There's the updates on Sean Payton are just simply that it doesn't sound like he's going to be the Cowboys coach this year, that they have reiterated.
Just said that like Nick Saban.
Did I?
Just said that like Nick Saban.
We're very
watch out in there, man.
Yeah. We're very, very intimidated by the game against the Citadel
just
coming up this
right
week.
Now, you just sounded like, yeah, I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. Not going to be it. That's what it sounded like. Well, I'm just saying.
And he never was. Oh, wait. He absolutely was. No, Sean Payton, it sounds like, if you believe the Cowboys, that Mike McCarthy is their guy until next year.
One more year. Yeah. That suddenly has backed off the Sean Payton talk for me.
Yeah.
It really has. The Raider thing is what did it. That tipped me off right there because I thought the Raiders would be very attractive to Sean Payton. With Derek Carr, playoff team, $23 million in cap space, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would be something very appealing to Sean Payton. And, you know, it's just the timing. Once again, you hear this story come down about Josh McDaniels 3 or 4 days after Sean Payton has walked away from the New Orleans Saints. That seems a little suspicious to me.
I don't want to say rumors, but the talk of Byron Leftwich and or Adrian Wilson going to Jacksonville, that hasn't happened yet, but it seemed there was a like an hour or two yesterday, Wolf, where it seemed like Leftwich was their guy, and he still might be their guy. But
yeah, it also seemed like A-Dub was gone.
Yeah.
Some of the reports that it was tied directly to the general manager job with the Jacksonville Jaguars. It sounded like that if you read between the lines, but we haven't got any confirmation on that right now.
Mm-mm. So that's all still in flux, but it would be, I mean, if you really got Leftwich and Adrian Wilson over to Jacksonville, there's the Cardinals, that's not Cliff Kingsbury's coaching tree, obviously, but you're starting to see pieces of those Cardinals teams spread out around the league. Leftwich in particular, I got to say, that year, that 2018 season that was just miserable, Leftwich was like the one guy. Remember, he got thrown in there when Mike McCoy was let go, and it's like, all right, Byron, here you go. This is your big break.
Yep.
Good luck. Nobody else seems to know what to do with this. I give that guy a ton of credit, and I know it helps to have the connection he has with Bruce Arians, but when he gets the chance, he runs with it. That I felt so bad for that guy in 2018 because I'm looking at him like he was so positive that whole season when he was, but it was just like, is this going to be your one big break in this environment where it's not going to work with Josh Rosen and no pieces?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. It's a feather in the cap whenever another team looks at your guys and says, my goodness, you know what? There's some talent in that organization. It's one of the reasons why I hate the fact the Arizona Cardinals may lose Adrian Wilson. And that to me is a bummer. There's no doubt about it. Yet at the same time, Luke, I can tell you right now that it's not the worst thing that could happen to an organization because you've got other teams that are looking at your organization and they're saying, my goodness, there is talent. And that means you're hiring the right people. It means that you are hiring the right people. You are developing the right people. Now, it's not the end all be all, of course, but Bill Belichick, I think, would be the first one to tell you that it stinks, yet at the same time, it means he's doing the right thing and he is hiring the right people. When all of these coaches get opportunities coming from the Bill Belichick tree, Steve Keim can look at Jason Light, who is the general manager for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a guy that has orchestrated all of these moves, and Jason Light was his right-hand man. That speaks well, once again, of Steve Keim. Now, here it is again. Steve Keim has rebuilt the Arizona Cardinals again into a playoff-caliber team, and guess what's happening? Somebody else is going to get pilfered. That means you're doing the right thing.
What do you think Adrian Wilson's like in an interview?
Yeah, that is great right there because of the intensity.
Yes.
I mean, the
intensity. Do you think he talks or do you think he just stares at them?
No, man.
And they're like, you're hired.
I think he smiles. He actually smiles. I think when he's being interviewed from time to time. Because right now, his intensity level says anything but a smile.
Yeah,
I think it's okay to let him feel that intensity as you're being interviewed. Yet at the same time, you want to come across as a human being as well. And I'm sure that he smiles. I'm sure A-Dub's wife is telling him, smile. Make sure you smile.
You're going to intimidate them if you don't smile.
Yes.
Maybe you'll get the job that way. They're like, yeah, we had to give it to A-Dub because, well, I'm not telling him no. So he's our GM. He'll be the GM of like four teams this year because everybody the interviews with is like, we're not going to tell him no, right?
Yeah.
Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, we will take a closer look at the AFC Championship game. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, are they going to their third straight Super Bowl? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke, presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Well, this might be a preview of a matchup we're going to see a lot in the AFC for the foreseeable future, Wolf. Now, Josh Allen's obviously going to have something to say about it, too. But the quarterback play that we talked about earlier this week as sort of a, hey, look at all the quarterbacks, the young quarterbacks, and potentially the established quarterbacks going to the AFC. And we were looking at it from the perspective of, you know, look at the NFC. It's going to be Kyler Murray, and he's got an opportunity to really be king of the NFC. Partially because of how good he is, partially because of how good he ideally will become, but also when you look around the NFC, it's not crazy to think that his main competition at quarterback will be like Dak Prescott and Matthew Stafford, whereas in the AFC, they're all over there. And now you have Joe Burrow against Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship.
And how about this right here? And, of course, everyone is not giving the Cincinnati Bengals a chance of winning this game. I don't know what the line is. I really don't.
It's seven.
Seven is what you said right there.
Yeah.
Honestly, Joe Burrow, I don't think he cares. I think this guy is a future Hall of Fame player. I believe that. Now, again, I'm not going to call him that yet. He's got so many things he's got to overcome on the field and off. But when you watch him, there is one guy he reminds me so much of. And I'm talking about how he handled himself when he was younger, and that was Tom Brady. He reminds me of a young Tom Brady.
Okay.
Now, he's much more athletic. He's much more athletic than Tom Brady was. But when you watch him in the pocket and you watch how he goes about his business and how he handles playing the quarterback position, and for what I'm told, the way that he works at his job, just like TB did, I think he reminds me of Tom Brady. There's no doubt.
It's crazy how quickly he has gotten as good as he has. Because he is, 25 years old? Like he was in college for a while. And then one year, he was just the best player in college. And LSU won the national championship. And I will give him credit, Wolf, for all the things you just said. But also, he was really good as a rookie last year, and then he got hurt. And then they don't block for him in Cincinnati. They just kind of, it's just like, okay, do five Mississippi and then take a run at our quarterback. So he got hurt last year, and Justin Herbert went off. And everybody, by the start of this season, was like, Justin Herbert's the guy. Oh, yeah, Joe Burrow, he's still in Cincinnati, right? Joe Burrow has been a monster, and they still don't block for him. He got sacked 9 times in the last game. He got sacked 51 times during the regular season, more than anybody else.
This is why I respect him so much.
Well, because I remember the reports in training camp of, Joe Burrow doesn't look the same. He almost looks like he's hesitant, because come back from an injury, and they can't block for him. So the mental aspect alone has been impressive this year, that even though he's getting just thrown around as much as he is, he's still stepping in there. And there was a stretch earlier, like a month ago, where he threw for almost 1,000 yards in two games.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah, no. There's no doubt about it, man. The kid is special, and I think his physical ability is actually something that pales in comparison to the soul that he bears. It's, you know, I say this all the time, and it's just the truth, Bazinoni. It's so much of the time we have a tendency to just look at the physical, look at the physical, look at the physical. And yet it is truly the soul that makes it different. It's truly the soul that is unique so much of the time. And what drives a person and what does not? Your intensity level, where does that come from? And dealing with adversity, how tough can you possibly be? When you think of tough, I typically think of guys that play on the line of scrimmage, offensive linemen, defensive linemen. I think of linebackers. I think of fullbacks. I think of George Kittle. I think of guys that are tough and physical and love it. Yet at the same time, I think Joe Burrow has got the heart of a 13-year center in the NFL. He is tough. 9 sacks. You already mentioned how many times he was hit during the regular season.
51 sacks. Hit a lot more than that.
Hit a lot more than that. And this kid did nothing but get off the ground and continue to perform well. So to me right now, Joe Burrow he's special. Yeah, he's in that class. He's proven already he can overcome adversity, and he's tough.
And he's not, and he's been consistent with this, he's not content, hey, we made the playoffs in my second year. Hey, we got past the first round in my second year. And he wants to take out the Chiefs, too.
We're excited about the opportunity. Obviously, a really good team. If you want to do the things that we want to do, that's a team that you're going to have to beat every single year. You know, the AFC has run through them for 4 straight years, so... You know, we're excited about the opportunity. We're going to have a great week of practice, and we'll be ready to go.
That conference is going to be bananas for the next decade.
That's so well done right there. That is well handled right there. Was there any bulletin board material in there whatsoever? No.
No, there was not.
No. It was interesting because after the game, remember when Joe Burrow was saying the underdog thing? Yeah, forget about I said, Joe, just don't worry about that, man. Don't worry about it. If people think you're the underdog in this game, don't worry about that, Joe. Shoot, man. Embrace that, as a matter of fact. Don't. Whatever you do, try to remind the Kansas City Chiefs that, hey, you are capable, and we got a burr, and we're coming after you. Don't do that at all. Just sit there and go, yeah, you know, listen, they're the greatest team. And what he just said right there, that the fact the Super Bowl runs through the Chiefs for the last 4 years, that is great. That is a great approach right there. Well done by Joe Burrow.
It probably runs through the Chiefs for the next 4 years too. But it's going to be real interesting to see how that conference plays out, because I remember last year going into the Super Bowl thinking, if the Chiefs could beat Tampa last year, you keep Brady at 6 Super Bowls. That's 6. Come on, it's ridiculous.
Wow.
And then Mahomes would already have 2, and he would have beaten Brady head-to-head. And you figure...
6.
I know.
That's the number of man, by the way, Bazinoni, in 6. Interesting.
I think Mahomes is going to win, I don't know, at least 2 more. If I set the over-under at 2.5 more Super Bowls for Mahomes, I think he's getting at least 2 more. He might get 1 in 2 weeks. I just remember having this conversation on these airwaves a year ago of, you know, if Mahomes looks like the better quarterback than Brady and he finishes his career with 4 and Brady finishes with 6, you can have the conversation, you know, at that point, who's the greatest of all time? Well, Brady has 7 and nobody else in the league has more than 1 at this point. So it's going to be tough for Mahomes to get multiple more Super Bowls because of Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. And I have to think at some point Justin Herbert enters the equation.
Right.
And Lamar Jackson is there too.
Oh, my goodness.
And I understand fully Trevor Lawrence didn't show anything this year, and he's in Jacksonville, but he might be somebody that if he becomes the player everybody told us he was going to become in 3 or 4 years, they could even be a tough out in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine that right now? Just the way the AFC is shaping up for the quarterback position and dominance of the quarterback position. And you have no idea how easy it is to actually... No, I strike that. You have no idea how much easier it is to actually build a winning football team when you've got that guy.
Yeah. Well, you
have to find that guy.
I think Cardinals fans, I think you understand it a little bit, right?
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is unless you truly experience it as a general manager where you're looking for that guy, it is the reason why Steve Keim did what he did with Kyler Murray. The fact that he drafted two quarterbacks, franchise quarterbacks, back-to-back. Josh Allen, and then all of a sudden, look, everybody, you got the number one pick overall, and it's Kyler Murray on tape watching him play that one season at Oklahoma. It's Kyler Murray on tape. Steve Keim said it many times. He didn't want to watch the tape. He didn't want to watch it. He was afraid of watching it.
He was afraid it was going to be too good.
For the very reason, yes. For the very reason he was afraid to do it, to go ahead and draft a quarterback, a franchise quarterback, back-to-back. Nobody does that. General managers who do that get fired.
I know a lot of Cardinals fans are down on Kyler Murray right now, and I know there is a subset of the fan base that's like, I don't know if this is the guy. Setting all that aside for a second, if you want to feel better about the Cardinals, just go look through any draft. Just go in like the last 10 or 15 years. And look at like the top 15 picks and look at all the good players that are in those top 15 picks. And then the quarterbacks that were nothing that teams had to reach on because they needed to find a quarterback.
Yes.
Like the Cardinals have their quarterback. Now, can he win you a Super Bowl? Who knows? We'll find out, right? But you at least, the Cardinals don't have to reach in the draft on a quarterback next year. And they're picking 23rd, but you're not heading towards an era. And you've already been there if you're the Cardinals. Where, okay, you're picking sixth, okay, you're picking ninth, or you're picking sixth, and there's this great player out there that probably shouldn't be there at six, but you got to reach on this quarterback who might be out of the league in 3 years because you don't have a quarterback. They're not there. There's a lot of teams that are still there.
No, and that is really, really good. Once again, that quarterback, too, in his skill set, it defines how you're going to build that team around him. That's why having a coach, having continuity is so critical when you have that franchise quarterback as well.
When we come back, Devin Booker not named an all-star starter. Neither was Chris Paul. But does it really matter considering where the Suns are right now? We'll talk about that. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Drinking from a fire hose, a sip of sparkling water. Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM Arizona's Sports Station.
All right, before we jump back into the Suns, we should, I'm sure you've heard bits and pieces of it in the updates throughout the morning, but ASU, Zach Hill stepping down. So,
wow.
Becomes more of a mystery over there by the day. Gambo has, he's got about four tweets on this in the last hour or so, talking about some of the details on this. He did say, his most recent one said, a new OC for ASU is expected to come from the outside, and he would not expect any announcement this weekend, but a replacement for Zach Hill. And he put in parentheses, it's not Brian Billick, is in the works.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, though. This is obviously something that the Sun Devils suspected was coming when they hired, I think, Brian Billick. Maybe Brian Billick is going to be heavily involved in finding the next offensive coordinator.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, it's difficult to get excited about ASU football. And I guess you don't have to right now because it's January. But I mean, as somebody that that went to school there and went to grad school there, I usually am into ASU football. And Wolf, I'll tell you right now, it's hard to follow what's even going on at this point because the investigation still looms over them. Depending who you talk to, sometimes it's like, yeah, that investigation is probably not going to really find all that much and things will be fine. That just you're now in a conference with Lincoln Riley and everybody he's got coming to USC. But then other people are like, yeah, I don't know. You got to kind of just wait and see what happens. Either way, it's impacted the recruiting. And anytime you see your offensive coordinator abruptly to the outside world, like you said, I'm sure ASU knew, but abruptly to the outside world, your offensive coordinator resigns. This doesn't show a lot of stability right now.
Yeah. You know, are they tying it to the NCAA investigation? Are they are tying it to the investigation as well. And what does that mean? They find Zach Hill was involved in that? Was this Zach Hill Was it his idea? Zach Hill's been in the college game for a long time, and for me, I look at it and wonder, how in the world does he think of a dead period? Was he responsible for that? Ultimately, I'm sorry right now. Nobody will be able to change my mind on this one, but unless Herm was told something otherwise, it's the head coach's responsibility to ultimately know that. You have to.
I'm not going to argue with you on that.
Ultimately, you have to know that. The buck stops with Herm, ultimately. And I think he'd be the first one to tell you that.
Yeah, and that's what is just brutal if you're an ASU fan, because Herm is very likable. You can tell
he's the best.
How he would be such a good recruiter. I understand in games there's been some frustrating ASU games over the last couple of years, and you wonder, like, okay, Herm, could you fix something here in the middle of the game? But you know, the offense was a lot better before Zach Hill got here. Jaden Daniels was a lot better before Zach Hill got here.
Interesting.
I don't know that him leaving instantly makes Jaden Daniels good and makes the investigation go away. I don't know all the ins and outs of this. Nobody does. But that's definitely something to keep an eye on with ASU. Now over to the NBA. The All-Star voting for the starters is official. Wolf in the Western Conference, LeBron, Nikola Jokic, Andrew Wiggins, that's your front court. Steph Curry, Ja Morant, that's your back court. Interesting to note, because we talk about how the fan rank, that really skewed things a little bit towards really just Warriors and Lakers. But Devin Booker, in a loaded Western Conference backcourt, among players, like the players voting, he was third behind only Steph Curry and Ja Morant.
Yeah.
So the players get it.
Yeah, they get it. There's no doubt about it. They understand. And that is such a compliment to Devin Booker right there. Although he would not have been a starter based on the player vote, of course, he certainly would be an all-star based on the player vote. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why, there's no doubt about it, Devin Booker is going to get in. Devin Booker is going to get in to the all-star game, and that is a good thing. I think it's only a matter of time before we find out, of course, that's going to happen. But can I just say how much I love Devin Booker, in the way that Devin Booker has grown as a man? Forget about as a player, as a man, the way that Devin Booker has grown, the type of individual that he is, the competitor that he is, the basketball player that he is. It's right there for all to see. It's so evident. But man, just listening to Devin Booker address this situation, the maturity that you hear coming from D-Book, and the strength, Basinonians, the strength you hear coming from him in this regard on the All-Star game, it's truly amazing.
Yeah, it's another example of how he has grown. I'm still looking at the votes overall, and when you tabulate everything and you factor in the media vote and the player vote with the fan vote, it ended up in the backcourt for the Western Conference. It went Steph 1, Ja Morant 2. Doncic finished 3rd overall, but that was mostly because of the fans. He was 4th among players and 7th among media.
Yeah.
Booker finished 4th overall, 3rd with the players, 4th with the media. And Chris Paul did finish 5th overall. And again, that's because of the players. The media actually had him 3rd. So your top 5 in the Western Conference, Booker's 4 and Chris Paul's 5. They're going, especially because good chance Monty Williams is going to have some say over who makes this team.
Yeah, exactly. The NBA coaches, of course, are going to determine the reserve spots on this All-Star team. 7 spots are open right now, 3 front court, 2 back court, and then 2 wild cards. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine, there's no doubt about it, at some point in time, Devin Booker and Chris Paul, they're going to join the All-Stars.
I don't know. Let's take a look at the Warriors roster and see who those wild cards could be. Jordan Poole, let's see. He could go. Chris Mullin. I think Chris Mullin's still got he's probably able to step in and do that. Here's Charles Barkley last night talking about why he believes that, as far as the starters, he believes the Western Conference did get it right.
So I think that it could come down to Chris and Devin, but the two best guards in the Western Conference have been Ja Morant and Steph Curry. So I have no problem with that. Phoenix, my question is going to be, is Phoenix going to get 2 guys in the All-Star game?
Oh, they have to.
They're going to get
Booker and Paul.
Yes. So I think that, but the two starters should be Ja Morant and Steph Curry. They have been the two best guards in the Western in basketball in my opinion. They should both be starting.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with any of that. It's fine. As long as Devin Booker and Chris Paul are both at the All-Star game.
Right.
If they're not both going, right. I'm not watching. It's just ridiculous.
I have a huge issue with what he was saying there, because have you seen Steph Curry the last month? He's not been the same player the last month. He's shooting like a career low 37% from three. That's not Steph Curry numbers. He does not deserve to be a starter in this All-Star game.
He's still the MVP front runner though right now.
Why? Because he's Steph Curry? What has he done the past month? What has he done?
Yes. Yeah, well, okay, the past month, he's got a whole career behind him right now, and I'm sure that it's swaying an awful lot of people. I understand what you're saying, Jesse. You're talking about you want one season to mean one season and one season only. And you know what? Honestly, it never works like that. It does not work like that. It certainly doesn't work that way for fans. We all understand that. It doesn't work that way for players either. It doesn't. Players totally understand. I've said it for many, many years that you always go a year later to the Pro Bowl than you should have, and you hang on a year longer than you should have.
That's probably true.
Players, even when players were voting you in, a lot of times they would just say, you know, this kid's going to have to prove it to me. We're not going to vote for him the first time around. He's going to have to prove it. Okay, yeah, he's having a great year. There's no doubt about that, but he's going to have to do it again before we're going to vote for him, right? I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Sounds a lot like you the first year I talked about Kyler Murray. You're like, yeah, he looks good, but he's going to have to prove it his second year.
That's right. That's the reason why it took me into his third season to name him as a franchise quarterback. This is the game of football. The thing I love about it is the ultimate prove-it league. Because it's so physical, it's so in your face, it's prove it. And what I love about basketball as well is it's the same thing. It's not as physical as football, but man, the athleticism out on the court is second to none, and it's all about prove it. I'm better than you, prove it. And you get the opportunity to do it.
The other question with all this is, does it really matter? Like, are Suns fans, are you really that up in arms that Devin Booker and Chris Paul, neither one of them made it as a starter?
It is a slap in the face.
It is. It'd be a slap in the face if they don't make the team. But I don't think Devin Booker is just, I don't think he's just trying to say the right thing when he's like, no, I've moved past that. I'm at a different part in my career. Different things are important to me. This team can win the NBA title. I get, as a Suns fan, you're like, man, they don't talk about this team on big network TV at all. They don't. The national television, they barely ever talk about the Suns. They're still too busy talking about the Lakers. I get it. But, and so anytime there's any sort of like perceived slap in the face, I understand the sensitivity to it. But there's a really good chance that the Suns are going to be in the NBA Finals for the second straight year. That's obviously a lot more important. Like I said, if they cross the line and those two guys don't get into the All-Star game, then it is, as Monty Williams said, it's just laughable. Then it's just a joke. But it doesn't bother me as much as it would have 2 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't know if you... Next time we talk about this, we've got to play that cut from D-Book, because the maturity and the strength behind that cut is second to none and fills me with a love and respect and appreciation for this young dude that is maturing and continues to develop and get better before our very eyes. It's awesome.
All right, we come back. The top stories of the day. Wolfing down your lunch to kind of reset everything. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.